Turning back to Exodus chapter 14 and to the very familiar words of verse 15, where the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And the theme that I want to look at with you this morning as we start another year is the theme of going forward or going on, going through with God. This is really what is in focus in Exodus chapter 14. They've come to a crisis point, and the command is that they would go forward. He doesn't leave it there, as we'll see as we work our way through the other verses that follow our text, but that's where we will begin in our studies this morning. So let's, with our Bibles open there, let's seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy mercies. We thank thee for thy grace that finds us in thy house today, for the health and strength we have, for the providence, Lord, that has so ordered things in thy grace and goodness that enables us to be here today. We thank thee, Lord, for another Sabbath. We thank thee for another year. We thank thee for another day. And we ask as we come around thy word now that thou would speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray that thou wilt impress upon our hearts and minds and souls the significance of this command of Scripture, that we go forward. Lord, we pray we would be a people who know thee and go on with thee even in the weeks and months of this year that lie in thy will. So abide with us now. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Fill me with thy Holy Ghost, I ask, and give help in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Few men in the Old Testament enjoyed as close a walk with God as Moses, the man who features in this chapter. Although he was born under threat of death, for the time of his birth, Pharaoh had ordered the murder of all the male Israelite children, God had preserved his life and set Moses apart for a very particular work. He was raised as an Egyptian in the Egyptian court under Egyptian authority in the Egyptian ways, but he was never an Egyptian at heart. God had saved him by his divine grace. And in time, this man was called to be the deliverer of the Lord's people. That call in itself came in very unusual circumstances. For the first 40 years of his life, Moses lived in Egypt. And then for the next 40 years of his life, he was a shepherd looking after his father-in-law's sheep in the desert. And at the ripe old age of 80, God met him in the wilderness. And he appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And it was at that time when God revealed his glory to him that he commanded him to go to Pharaoh and demand the release of his people. Moses was a meek man, humble and gentle in many ways, fearful also, and he protested to God that he was not a man of many words. God was kind to him, and as a result of what Moses said, God said that you could take Aaron, your brother, with you, and he will be a spokesman for you. And so Moses went at the call of God into the presence of Pharaoh and demanded the release of his people. And so for the next 40 years of his life, we find him pleading for Israel, and we find him leading Israel out of the land of Egypt towards the promised land. He was an outstanding man of faith, a man who endured all of those difficulties by seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he looked on to Christ, the author and finisher of his faith. He was a man of patience, a man of perseverance, and most notably, a man of prayer. He interceded with God for the good of the Israelites. And at times he was personally prepared to forfeit God's blessing if only God would bless his people. Now we come into Exodus chapter 14. And we discover in verse 15 that this man of God, this man of prayer, is facing one of the greatest challenges of his life. By this time, the children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt after 430 years of bondage. They're making their way towards the promised land. But for certain reasons, in the providence of God, and by the direct command of God, they are finding themselves now in front of the Red Sea, and it becomes a time of great testing. By now, the Egyptian army has gathered and are fast closing in against the people of God, and the Israelites have nowhere to go. It looks hopeless. They feel helpless. And the whole situation looks as if it's going to end for them in horrible failure. And of course the people of Israel reacted. They began to complain against Moses. Why have you brought us into the wilderness to die? We would have been better off in Egypt. We told you we were happier where we were. We wish we had stayed where we were rather than come out here and die at the sea. They had so little courage and less faith when it came to this point in their experience. And so Moses did what we would expect this man of God to do. He prayed. Spurgeon said, spiritual men in their distresses turn at once to prayer. And you find that in our verse. This man began to cry to God. Verse 15 uses that term, wherefore criest thou unto me? It's a word that means to cry out in distress or to cry out for help. And it's in a certain form here that means Moses had been praying for some considerable time. He'd been crying to God for some considerable time as he faced this particular trouble. God had a very unusual answer for him. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Moses, why are you praying? Why are you crying out to me? How long are you going to do this? That seems very strange counsel from God. A very strange question. It was as if God was saying, this is not the time for more prayer. This is not the time to multiply words in seeking me. It's time to do something. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Of course, there is a time to pray. And we should pray. But there are times when we must do more than pray. We must go on. We must go forward. We must go through with God. It seems to me at the start of a new year that it's good to re-examine these words and ask God to impress them afresh upon our hearts and minds. This was a very timely word for the Israelites. Their future depended on them going forward. They had everything to gain by taking these next steps with God. There were blessings that they still had to experience, but in order to experience those blessings, they had to do what they were told to do here. They had to go forward. And believers, so it is in the Christian life. We have to go forward. So I want us to look at this theme, and there are three simple truths that I want us to pay particular attention to this morning as we consider going forward or going through or going on with God. Notice first of all the pressing exhortation to God's people. The pressing exhortation. This is where we must begin because it's a key part of the text. The words, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, are in the form of a command. Moses was commanded to speak. And through him, the Lord was commanding the Israelites to go on. The phrase, go forward, is not issued here as a suggestion. It's not a mere proposal. It's not even a piece of advice. It's not just an idea that God is setting forth that they might want to consider when they feel like it. It is much stronger than that. It's an exhortation. They are exhorted to go forward. This was the Lord's command to them. I have no doubt when I read this chapter that there were some within that great company of people who thought the best thing to do would be to go back. They were questioning Moses' integrity. They were questioning his wisdom. They were complaining against God because of their circumstances. No doubt some of them were on the very edge of giving up, thinking it was all too good to be true. This deliverance from Egypt, this rescuing from bondage, it's all too good to be true. And they were thinking of going back. But there was nothing of that in the word that God had for them. They were not to go back. They were not to stand complaining against Moses or against God. They were not to be filled with fear. They were not to think for a moment that they had come as far as they could go. No, they were to go forward. They were to advance. And we are to go forward too, believer. Maybe there's someone here and the last year or the last years of your Christian life have been marked with stagnation. Maybe you haven't grown much spiritually. Maybe it's the case that previous sins have crept back into your life again. Maybe it's the case you're not going on with God as once you did or as you know you should. Maybe it's the case you've grown indifferent. Your heart is cold and you've lost out with God. Or maybe there's someone here in the service and God has been showing you His will for your life. And you've been praying about that and you've been wrestling with that and perhaps struggling with that. But you've prayed, is there a word here for you? Yes, there is. It's that you would go forward. It is that you would go on. That's the thrust of this pressing exhortation in verse 15. That you would go forward with God. That every one of us would go forward with God. Note the details here. We must go forward, for this is God's will for His people. Although Moses spoke these words to the Israelites, he was only God's messenger with God's message. Notice carefully the language in verse 15. Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Moses, in speaking to them, was only conveying the mind of God. That's all he was doing. It was God who was saying to his people, go on. Go forward. Go further. That's very important. Had this just been something that Moses was saying to them, they could simply have ignored it. But this was not the word from Moses. This was the will of God. And why is that significant? It's significant because, remember, it was God who had delivered them from Egypt. It was God who had redeemed them by the blood of the Passover lamb. It was God who had moved Pharaoh's heart to release them. It was God who had raised up Moses and sent him as a savior among them. They were the Lord's people. And he had their best interest at heart. And now it's the Lord, the one who had redeemed them, the one who had called them, the one who had promised them so much. It is the Lord who is telling them, now it's time to go on. Now it's time to go forward. And believer, it is God's will for us that we go forward to. It's never His purpose for His people that we slide back into sin. It is never His purpose that we return to the ways of the world from which He has called us. It is never His purpose that we become entangled in the lusts of this life, or are overcome by indifference and carelessness. It's never His purpose that we are filled with fear and do not make spiritual progress. That's not God's will. It is His will that we go on. That we go on in the Christian life. We go on in the faith. We go on in our service for God. We go on to experience and enjoy fellowship with Him. It is His will that we go on growing in grace and increasing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's God's will that we go forward. Notice also we must go forward despite every present and every potential difficulty. We must go forward despite every present and every potential difficulty. The Israelites were at a very hard place here. And they were going to a hard place. when Moses addressed them at this time, they were being hunted down by the Egyptians. In chapter 13, Pharaoh had told Moses to take the people and go. And then in chapter 14, he had a change of heart. And he says in verse 5 of chapter 14, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us? And so he gathers his army, he gathers his chariots, he gathers his horsemen, and he goes after the people of Israel. They're breathing down their necks in chapter 14. And then, of course, in front of the Israelites, they had the Red Sea. There was no human way across, no bridges, no ships, no walkways. It was impossible what lay before them. And then, of course, beyond that was the land of Canaan. It was full of warrior nations, little independent city-states with their own kings and their own armies and their own defences. And Israel were being told to go forward into that and towards that. So behind them, before them, beyond them were problems and difficulties and obstacles and hardships. But in spite of all of that, God says, go forward. God knew. God knew the Egyptians were behind them. God knew the Red Sea was there. God knew what was like in Canaan. He knew all about this. But God says, go forward. Don't allow the difficulties of the past, or don't allow the difficulties of the present, or potential difficulties in the future to hold you back. Go on. Go forward. That was the Lord's call. That's true for us as well, believer. There are many Christians who are hampered in their Christian life because of past sins. Or they're hindered in their Christian life because of present problems. Or because of future fears. And as a result, they don't go on with God. Their circumstances have terrorized them, that they think there's nothing they can do. Dear believer, if you're in that situation this morning, listen, that is not the case. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There will always be obstacles. But go forward. Go through with God. Don't let your past sins hinder you there. If you're a believer and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, those sins are dealt with. As far as God is concerned, therefore go forward. Let me note with you also, we must go forward in the company of God's people. This was a word to all of Israel. Verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. It wasn't just for one of them or two of them. It wasn't just for the Levites. It was for all of them. They were to go forward unitedly as a body of God's people. That's important for us too. We're a congregation of God's people. And while this is God's word to us individually, it's also God's word to us collectively. We are to go forward in God's way, in God's will, in God's work, together. Together, in a spirit of unity. This is what the Lord is telling the Israelites. That they're to go forward together. Not everyone doing their own thing, acting in their own way, but going forward as one. This is why every one of us should determine, as God enables us, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You ever wonder why that command is there in Scripture? That counsel? Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's not just so that someone can look at an assembly of believers and say, well, there's a good number out there today. That's not what it's about. That passage in Hebrews 10:24 has to do with days of apostasy, days of trouble. And it's in this context, Paul says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. In order to encourage each other and to provoke each other unto love and to good works. To encourage each other in days of spiritual declension, days of spiritual apostasy, days where Christ is being denied, when we are to encourage each other and go forward together, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Old Testament book of Proverbs talks about iron sharpening iron. It's often used in regard to the benefit of fellowship with God's people. We need each other as we go on with God. And so this command, this exhortation, was for all of God's people. It's a very simple exhortation, doesn't it? Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. It means go on. For us, it means go on in the ways of the Lord. It means, believer, go through with God. It means obey his will for your life. It means yield yourself to him. It means present your body as a living sacrifice. Go on in grace. Go on in your knowledge of Christ. Go on in prayer. Go on in your reading of the word. Go on and do what you can in the service of Jesus Christ. Go on. Go forward. Go through. Go further with God. So you have the pressing exhortation to God's people. Notice with me, secondly then, the perfect encouragement to God's people. The perfect encouragement to God's people. You know, if anyone came to this passage of Scripture and understood that the children of Israel are standing at the shore of the Red Sea, and they came to verse 15 in isolation, they might well think that God was commanding these people to do something that was impossible for them to do. How could they go forward? After all, the Red Sea was before them. It's like coming to the edge of a raging river, quarter of a mile or half a mile wide, and being told, without a bridge, without a boat, being told in your own initiative, to go across that river. You think, well, that's impossible. That's impossible. Well, put yourself in their position here. They're standing at the Red Sea. How could they go forward? How could they go forward? The Red Sea was in front of them. The obstacle is too great. The obstacle is too vast for them. It was hopeless to command them. If we're looking at this purely from a human perspective, it was hopeless to command them to do what God had just commanded them to do. So if you read verse 15 in isolation, there's a huge question mark hangs over it. Sometimes we can feel that way in the Christian life. I've heard messages like this. I've heard messages that have urged me to go on with God. And I feel I can't. Sometimes we hear messages like this and we think, well, how can I? Maybe it's your thinking this morning. I've tried and I've failed. I've longed to go on with God. I don't know how to go on with God. I don't know what this means to go on with God. How can I go through with God? How can I obey this command? Maybe you're asking yourself, maybe you've asked yourself the question many times. How can I know more in my Christian life of what it means to go through with God? Maybe you even ask yourself the question, how can I enjoy my Christian life? Maybe you just find it one huge struggle after another. And you feel defeated. Maybe at times you feel completely deflated. And Satan makes much of that. And you feel a complete failure. And you're at a loss. You're at a loss as to how you can go forward with God. But in this portion, God gives us all the encouragement and provides all the enablement we need to go through with him. So I want you to follow me very carefully here. Notice that God enables us by his power. By his power. Verses 15 and 16 should be read together. So I want you to keep your Bible open. If you've closed it, let me ask you to reopen it again. If you have it before you, follow along. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 15, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Notice the reference to the rod. Lift thou up thy rod. This is not the first time that God spoke to Moses about that rod. It's first mentioned back in Exodus chapter 4. When God called Moses to go and stand before Pharaoh, and Moses says, "Well, I can't, I'm not a man of many words," and he has all these objections as to why he shouldn't go to Pharaoh. And God said to him in Exodus 4, "What is that in thine hand?" And Moses says, "It's a rod." And God said, "Cast it on the ground." And so Moses threw it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses ran away from it. And the Lord said to him, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." Remarkable, remarkable circumstance in Moses' life. He has a rod in his hand. The Lord says, "Throw it down on the ground." And as soon as he throws it in the ground, it becomes a snake. And Moses, frightened of a snake, runs from it. And God said, "No, go, just go back and take it by the tail." So he took it by the tail. It became a rod in his hand again. And God says that they may believe, you take that rod now to Pharaoh, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. The rod, the miracle with the rod becoming a serpent and then becoming the rod again, was a token of the power of God. Moses did not go into Pharaoh in his own strength. He had the power of God with him. He had the God of power with him. And now he's told to tell the people to go forward. But that command is not in isolation. He's told to stretch forth the rod. The rod that indicated the power of God. Stretch it over the sea. And the sea will divide and you'll go forward on that sea. And now God is reminding Moses that the people of Israel could go forward because of the power of God. They didn't have the power in and of themselves. They had to trust the power of God to enable them to go forward. And believer, it's no different for us. How can you go forward in your Christian life? How can I go forward in my Christian life? Let's be honest, we are weak, we fail, we stumble, we sin, we backslide. How can we go forward then? Only as we look to the Lord for spiritual power. And he gives spiritual power. Isaiah 40, verse 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Here's the key. The power of God experienced by his people. That power of God working in us. Working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You're finding it hard in your Christian life. I find it hard in my Christian life. What must we do? We must go to the Lord and ask him for power. Ask him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to give you strength to read your Bible. To give you strength to pray. Ask him. Ask him, dear believer, ask him for power to help you resist the devil and to flee from temptation. Cry in your heart, "Lord, help me. Help me to go through with this." So he enables us by his power. He enables us by his presence. Something else happened at this time in Exodus chapter 14. Look at verses 19 to 20. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So the one came not near the other all the night. See what's happening here, this pillar of cloud, this pillar of fire that has led the Israelites here to this very place. That towering column was a token of the Lord's presence with his people. It's a wonderful picture of Christ. A wonderful picture of Christ with his people. They moved as it moved. It was there with them during the daytime. It was there with them at night time. It was there to defend them, to protect them, to lead them, to guide them. It was there to encourage them that the Lord would never leave them nor forsake them. This was true now. And as they're told to go forward, they see this cloud going behind them to protect them, enabling them to go forward, enabling them to do what the Lord had commanded them to do. Believer, this is the case with us in Christ. We looked at Christmas Eve on the text in Matthew 1:23, where we're told that Christ is called Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews 13 verse 5, the Lord promises, I will never, 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 never leave thee nor forsake thee. There are five negatives in that verse in the original Greek. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when you find the Christian life difficult, when you find it hard to go through with God and go on with God, remember, dear believer, that you're not on your own. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you are with Christ, and Christ is with you, enabling you to go forward. God enables us, thirdly, by his promise. Look at verse 16. Lift up thou thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. This was just the word they needed. He had told them to go forward. It looked impossible if you take verse 15 in isolation. But now in verse 16 the Lord comes with this wonderful promise. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. The Lord is telling them what's going to happen. They're going to go through on dry ground. The Lord would make a way where there was no way. He would open the Red Sea in a way that had never happened before. He would make it possible for them to go forward. That's the thrust of this. And so he makes it possible for us to go on with him. What is the secret to living the Christian life? I used to think, as a child, a young person, a teenager, I used to think the secret to living the Christian life was me and how I lived and what I did or what I didn't do. And I discovered, after years of frustration and failure, I discovered that the secret to living the Christian life is not depending upon self, but depending upon the Savior. And this is where so many go wrong. We rest in our own strength, we rest in our own resolve, we rest in our own ability. But the fact is, unless we rest on Christ and look to him by faith, we will never be able to go forward. That's why when Paul says in Hebrews 12, run the race that is set before you, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He does not say, run the race that is set before you, looking to yourself. He doesn't say that. He says, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one we need. He's the one we need to trust. He's the one whose promises we need to claim. He's the one whose grace we need to rest upon. He's the one we need to take at his word. He's the one we need to depend upon in regard to our sins being washed away in his blood and his mercy to us, his grace to us for every step of life's way. This is the only way, believer, that we will go forward this year with God. We need Christ. We need to look to him. We need to trust him. We need to pray to him. We need to rely upon him, because without him we can do nothing. So you have the pressing exhortation to God's people, the perfect encouragement to God's people, and then notice lastly and quickly the powerful experience of God's people. They went by faith. They went by faith. You think of what happens later in the chapter when God divides the Red Sea and the children of Israel do walk through that dry ground, that way that's open for them. That took an incredible amount of faith. They'd never done anything like that before. Nothing like this had ever happened before. They didn't know what was going to happen as they entered into that dry passageway through the Red Sea, but they walked by faith. It was such a strange circumstance that even strong men might have been tempted to turn back. But they believed God. They went forward. They went forward. And what an experience they enjoyed with God. You think of it, their enemies were defeated. Those Egyptians that so threatened them. When Israel went through the Red Sea, the Egyptians hurried in after them, thinking they could do the same. And God, who divided the sea, then caused the sea to come back together again, and the Egyptians were drowned. The Israelites thought they were going to be destroyed by the Egyptians. God had something far better. God destroyed the Egyptians for the Israelites. And his name was glorified. You see, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. They experienced the defeat of their enemies because they went forward with God. Notice too, their faith was rewarded. They saw the mighty power of God. He had promised to do this. Maybe the unbelievers among them, maybe the doubters among them thought it would never happen. It could never be. But I have no doubt that one encouraged the other in their walk of faith. And as they walked through the Red Sea, they learned that God was faithful to his word, that God was powerful to fulfill his own purposes, that he could do what he had promised he would do. He would take care of his people. They learned something of the graciousness of God. They learned something of the power of God. They learned something of the glory of God. Their faith was so powerfully rewarded when they learned so much more of their God. And of course, they make progress towards the promised land. This step had to be taken, and God enabled them to take it. What an experience. What an experience they enjoyed at that particular time. Why? Because they went forward with God. Dear believer, there's no telling what blessings God has for us. No telling what experiences God has for us, if we will go through with him. Go through with God your vows to pay. You're all upon the altar lay. Give to him the very best. And God will do the rest for you. He'll undertake. He'll bless you. He'll minister to you. He'll show you things of his glory and of his person, of his power that we haven't seen before. You'll prove him. That's what's happening here. They proved God. And God was true to his word. Let this year of 2024, whatever God gives to us off this year, who knows what a day will bring forth. But let us go forward. Let that be the prayer of our hearts. Go forward. Go forward with God. Go through with him. Go further with God than you've ever gone before in your Christian walk. And may God help us. Let's bow in prayer. Let's seek his face. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us here this morning. Bless the truth of these verses to our hearts. We thank Thee for Thy grace and Thy goodness, Lord. Bless the word to all Thy people in this meeting. Remember any who are not saved today, save them, we pray. And Lord, lead us on with Thee. Take us further with Thee. Make this a year of spiritual advancement in our own personal Christian lives. And as a church, take us on with Thee, we pray. We ask this now in Jesus' precious name. Part us in Thy blessing, with Thy fear and in Thy favour. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.